Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
My wife, Susan, have two children. He's a graduate of FHU Lipscomb and the University of Kentucky. And in addition to preaching for the Barry's Chapel Church of Christ, he's the vice president of the World Christian Broadcasting Organization, and that's something that our congregation has supported for years and continues to do. And several of us were able to go to their annual fundraising dinner where Andy was the keynote speaker and heard some very exciting things that are taking place in an effort to spread God's word all across the world. Of course, as we think about their connection here, we're reminded, and both he and Eddie Baker admitted to being cousins. They both owned up to that. And I asked Eddie, I tried to get some inside information to use in the introduction, but he thought for a minute and he said, all I can say about Andy is he's always been a fine Christian man. And I think that's true. And so I know they are glad to see them. Also, Vance and Pam Hendrickson. For a time, we're at the same congregation in Louisville where Andy was, and I know they're glad to make that reconnection. Jim and Jackie Hill also came down with Andy. I know several of you have gotten to see them, and if you haven't, you hopefully get a chance to visit after our service. He's in his sixth year of ministry with the church at Barry's Chapel, and as we think about him coming to speak to us, I'm excited because of his passion, not just for missions abroad, but also for local ministry. And I think that's really going to inform the lesson tonight. Every time I've heard him, I've been encouraged, I've been uplifted, I've learned something, and I know that will happen tonight as well. So without taking up any more of his time, Andy, come and share a message with us.
I need to talk just for a second about Eddie and Doris. I just love those folks. They have just been special people all of my life. Eddie was that older cousin that always played with us little boys, and I'll never forget you doing that and how special that was. And does he still do that? I don't know why you're giggling. He is a good cousin. He's a good cousin to have. Vance and Pam Hendrickson are just dear, dear friends. They're somewhere in the room. I've lost them. But they are just dear, dear friends. And it's so good to be able to be with them again. And the folks who have come from Barry's Chapel, I am so blessed to be a part of that good church. And some of the dearest friends I have in the world are here tonight from Barry's Chapel. And I appreciate your presence here. It is an honor to be at Graymere. Grew up 30 miles from here or 35 miles from here. I've known about the Graymere Church all my life. And Brother Vaughn has been a favorite of my dad's for a long, long time. My dad passed about 12 years ago, and one of his favorite people in the world was you, and I appreciate the friendship and respect that my dad had for you. Wendell visited my dad also several times, and that was a special friendship that my dad appreciated as well. It's just an honor to be here with you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad I'm here and for our time together. Jim Bill McIntyre one time was on a program down in Alabama where it started on a Thursday and went Friday, and it was going to be finished on Saturday morning with two speakers. So this thing had gone on about 3 days, and the opening speaker for that Saturday morning, and then it was going to be Jim Bill to close out things. Jim Bill got there that day before to hear that first message on that morning, sat down on the front pew. The speaker for that first session did not know Jim Bill, so he sits down with Jim Bill, and he looked at Jim Bill and he said, "Are you going to be here to the bitter end?" And Jim Bill looked at him and said, "I am the bitter end." Well, in your summer series, I'm almost the bitter end. And I'm just honored that you've invited me to come to spend this time with you. Let's have a Bible check. Hold them up. Or hold up your iPad or your iPhone, whatever you're going to use. I don't think I saw a songbook. One or two, maybe. I'm glad you brought your Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bible, repent and bring it next time you come. Because that's what we're going to study together tonight. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. With the topic about living joyfully, there were 8 or 10 different ways you could go to talk about that particular topic. But I felt the need to talk about something else up front that will either interfere or help us with our joy that we have in serving the Lord. And this particular passage is one of those stories that Jesus Christ told. In fact, the parable that we're going to talk about may be one that you've kind of skipped over. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, you've read that story numerous times. You've read the explanation of the parable about the sower, and that's been one of those stories and one of those parables that you would for sure read. But the next one that begins in verse number 24 might be one of those parables that you just kind of overlooked a little bit. Two or three things is before we study that particular parable. It's right in the middle of the book of Matthew. I think it's also there for a particular reason and a particular purpose. I want you to envision a bigger picture before we go to the text. Matthew was written after the events of the book of Acts. Matthew was written after the events of the book of Acts. So there are house churches all over coming together to worship in people's homes back at that particular time. And there was some opposition and some persecution going on. And there were some things that might have discouraged them in their journey with God. I got an idea that this story was put in by Matthew at just the right time to communicate a very powerful message to maybe some Christians at that particular time that might be a little bit discouraged. I'll bet you there's one or two folks in the room tonight that's a little bit discouraged with the times in which we live. Would anybody agree with me? This means yes, this means no. Not trying to be funny. Let's just communicate a little. Would anybody in the room say we're living in pretty desperate times? How would you answer that? Anybody in the room a little concerned about our future? You can do yes or no on that one. Is anybody in the room concerned a little bit about what world our kids and for sure grandkids are going to inherit from us? And there's a lot of head nodding yes. I think it was true also when this particular page of Scripture was written. Let's read the story together and realize as the story begins in verse number 24, Jesus is giving us a picture about the kingdom of heaven, about those who are serving God in their life. And here's a picture that Jesus paints for us beginning in verse 24. Please read in your Bibles and note the parable with me. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You may have a translation that uses the word weeds. That's what a tare is in this story. While men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, dost thou not sow good seed in thy field? And from hence then hath it tares, or weeds? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, what then shall we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. When you read that story, you might think, well, why in the world is that story in there? And I think it's in there for the first century folks to read at the time that they lived. But I think it's also there for you and for me to read in the times in which we live. There's been a lot of good done in the name of the Lord. There's been a lot of great teaching and preaching and a lot of great soul winning going on in the world, especially in this immediate area of our world. There's been a lot of great things done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been a lot of good seed sown. Would anybody in the room agree? But then when you look around us, you see a lot of weeds, don't you? Did you watch the news before you came tonight? I'll bet you it was either 30 minutes or an hour telling you weed stories. That's what sells newspapers. That's what increases the ratings, is when you tell weed stories. When you tell about the bad things that's going on, did anybody notice that on the news? If you missed it at 6, you can get it at 10, and it may be just a little bit worse with more details. And if you're not careful, trying to sow good seed, you might get discouraged with all the weeds around. The weeds grew up with the good plants in this particular parable. And they both grew up together. And those that was trying to take care of the good seed and the good plant said, "What are we going to do with the weeds? Should we just rip it all up?" And sometimes we get thinking that maybe that's what we ought to do in the world in which we live. Would anybody agree we got weeds growing around us in the 21st century? And sometimes it's a little difficult to see nothing else but weeds. So what's this story really trying to teach us? Well, as always, Jesus had to kind of tell the disciples every now and then, "Let me tell you what this story means." And he does later on in this particular chapter in verse number 36. Would you read from the beginning in verse 36? And notice the words of Jesus. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, 'Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said unto them, 'He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares, or the weeds, are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Well, Andy, what's that got to do with living joyfully? Here's what it's got to do with it. You and I, if we're not careful, could be overwhelmed by the weeds around us. You and I could get very discouraged because of the enormity of the amount of weeds around us. Now, sometimes you can get so overwhelmed with the bad things going on around us that you get thinking, "All right, Lord, why is there so much evil in our land?" Maybe, and you get starting doubting some things and questioning some things because of all the weeds growing up around us. You begin to wonder, well, why the weeds? If God is so good and so powerful and His seed so powerful, why is there so many weeds? What does that say about the field? And what does it say about God? So here's a story where Jesus said, "Let me tell you how you need to make sure you keep on living at a time when there's a lot of weeds growing up around you." I need to make sure I'm with the right audience. This again means yes, this means no, not trying to be funny. But do we live in the midst of a lot of weeds? Are there a lot of weeds in Columbia? There's a lot of weeds up where I live. And I get to travel all over the nation for World Christian, and I've noticed a lot of weeds in a whole lot of places. There's a lot of evil people in this world. And if you're not careful, you can get so discouraged thinking, "Lord, what's the use? There's so many weeds around us. What is the use?" In this story, Jesus said, "I've got the end figured out. You just keep on sowing good seed till I call you home. I'll take care of the weeds. You just keep on sowing the good seed. You keep on doing your good deeds. You keep on living for the Master. I'll take care of the weeds. I got the end of time figured out. It's all in my timing. You just do what you do. You just keep on sowing good seed. I'll take care of the weeds." Let me take you to one more page that gives us a little bit more information about this picture as well. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Andy, why are we going there? Because that writing was written about the same time that Matthew was written. And it was written to the same Christians who were in their house churches scattered around, dealing with the weeds of their particular time. And they were probably wondering, what should we do and how should we live with all the weeds and all the bad things going on around us? In 1 Peter chapter 4, that was written around the same time that Matthew was, I got an idea in these house churches trying to deal with the times in which they lived, being discouraged about the weeds of their day, that this writing also would have been read in their hearing. To the house churches that was dealing with opposition and persecution and some weeds of evil around them, please listen to what Peter says as his advice, what they needed to do with all the weeds growing up around them and all the bad things going on. How should Christians therefore live? From Matthew's account, Matthew said, you just keep on sowing the seed. You keep on doing those good things in my kingdom. Now listen to 1 Peter's words. Look in chapter number 4, beginning in verse 7. And realize it's probably read to the same audiences in those house churches all across that land, written about the same time. Please hear the words of the inspired man. Look in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore. Anytime you read the word therefore, what do you need to do? You need to read what's just been said before. And that's what I've tried to paint a picture for you up to this point in our study. The word therefore is a concluding word. I've said this, therefore, let's draw a conclusion. Got parents in the room. It's school night and it's 8:30. Therefore, what do you tell your kiddos? You hadn't got your homework, get it. About time to get the teeth brushed. About time to hear the Bible story. About time to kiss your mama, right, moms? Need a smile if that's the case. About time you kiss your mom and get in the sack. Therefore, here's my activity. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7, Peter says, therefore. Therefore, here's how I want you to live. Be sober and watch into prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity will cover a multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Let's stop right here, right in the middle. Do you get what Peter is telling us? You may live among a lot of weeds. You just keep on doing good. You just keep on loving folks. You just keep on opening up your life, your family, your home to show hospitality. You just keep on taking care of yourself. You just keep on being sober and being self-controlled. You watch unto prayer. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep doing those things that you would do if you didn't have any weeds around you. You just keep on living for me and being what I want you to be in my service. Now, with that idea in mind, let's keep reading and you're going to get an even broader picture. Let's read again verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Last year at Barry's Chapel, we spent a whole year trying to help us to understand what our gifts and what our talents are. I'm looking tonight into the eyes of a lot of folks who's got a whole lot of gifts and a whole lot of talents. So what would verse number 10 have you do in a world with a lot of weeds in it? What does Peter say do? You keep on using those gifts and talents. You keep on serving and bringing glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 11. Be a man speak while you're living around a bunch of weeds that may be discouraging and wondering why we got so many evil weeds around. If you're going to open up your mouth, he said, let them speak as the oracles of God. Be a man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. That goes back to your gifts and talents. You're listening really, really well tonight. Do you get the message? We live in a world where there's a lot of weeds, and you could get discouraged getting lost in the weed patch. Anybody in the room work at a place where there's a lot of weeds? Anybody live in a cul-de-sac where there's a lot of weeds? Anybody maybe go to school? I wish our teens was here. They may have some friends around them that might be discouraging. I bet you these folks in the room that's got some very precious young people to you who are off at college. And if they're attending a state school, I'll bet you every philosophy teacher and every religious teacher might even question if there was a God. There's some weeds among us, are there not? And Peter says, you just keep on sowing the seed. You keep on praying. You keep on serving. You keep on showing hospitality. You keep on using your gifts and talents. You keep on, I've got the end taken care of. I'll take care of the weeds. You just keep serving. You keep doing the work of the Graymere Church at a time when there's a lot of weeds of discouragement around us. He doesn't quit there. Look at the next line. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Well, Andy, what's that saying? Don't be shocked if there are some weeds out there that's not tickled about your journey with God. Don't be shocked of all some of your co-workers that just might not be overjoyed about your journey with God. Don't think that's strange. Think back with me just for a moment. We're not going to turn back to another page, but think with me about the reactions that Jesus got. He converted everybody he taught, didn't he? No. Everybody followed him for all the right reasons, didn't they? No. And yet what did he keep on doing? He just kept on doing those good things, teaching the good news about salvation. In the midst of the weeds in which Jesus lived, and if they didn't like him, if there were some that didn't like him, Peter says, don't be shocked if not everybody is overjoyed about your journey with God. In fact, he'll say later on, some of your worst enemies will be those of your own house. So to those in the room who may be serving God by yourself, and your spouse or your parents or your kids don't share your joy, don't be shocked. There are a lot of weeds around us. But our Lord has got, He's got the weeds taken care of. He's got the end of time figured out. And until then, you just keep on working and serving and bring glory to God. It gets better. Look at the next line. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, He may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He hath evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Church, you're listening really well. Does the message communicate? We're living amongst a lot of weeds, and you could get discouraged looking around you and seeing all the weeds. In fact, if you get counting up numbers, there might be more weeds than there is good plants in some situations. Matthew said, and Peter said, you just keep on serving. You just keep on planting seed. You just keep on using your homes and your lives to show hospitality. You just keep on living that godly life in front of others. And don't be shocked when others don't share your joy. And you just keep on serving God. One of my dearest friends, who is maybe the most courageous friend I have, is Mahmoud. Mahmoud lives in Morocco. World Christian Broadcasting contacted Mahmoud back in the late 90s. We got a letter from him. His story began back in 1954. His daddy was Muslim. He was out in the field tending sheep, and a French soldier walked by him and handed him the Gospel of John in the language of Berber. Him being Muslim, he didn't want to read it. He took it back to his two-room cabin that he shared with 12 family members and 6 sheep. Mahmoud in high school found the Gospel of John, read it, became intrigued with Jesus. He answered an ad in an Egyptian newspaper to study English. One of 16 addresses in that list was Brentwood, TN. He thought it was Tanzania. He began to use it since it was the shortest address. Long story short, we got his correspondence. He heard our programming over his shortwave radio. He wrote us a letter saying, I need to be baptized into Jesus, but if I'm baptized, I'll be killed. We flew to Casablanca, baptized him in an upstairs bathtub. story doesn't end there. 100 miles away is Sufyan, another university student. He was baptized in the ocean. Those two brothers came to Fried Hardeman to study Bible. They took every Bible class that Fried Hardeman offered in the late 90s and maybe around 2000 or so. They didn't major in Bible because the government could track it. So they majored in something else but took every Bible class they could. They've gone back to Morocco. You want a goosebump? Let me give you a goosebump. I saw Mahmoud in May. In a place where it's against the law to talk about Jesus, Mahmoud has baptized 780 Muslims into Jesus Christ. Now, it's against the law to do what he's doing. I want you to hear his spirit. He said, Andy, when we get to be 1,000, we're going public. Get a goosebump? If you didn't, you need to check your pulse. That's the story tonight about living among the weeds. Can I tell you a funny story about Mahmoud? Can I quit preaching for just a second? He was here about 4 summers ago, and he stayed in my house. I took him back to get his car the next day so he could fly back, or so he could drive to Atlanta and go back home. We're going out of town, and Mahmoud said, Andy, we need to go to Walmart. And I thought that was so funny. I got a guy from the other side of the world who's got to make a Walmart stop before he goes home. I said, Mahmoud, what do we need? He said, we need baptistry. I said, a baptistry? He said, yes, I can't take people down to the river or down to the creek. It would arouse too much suspicion. I need swimming pool. It's got to be in the box, preferably with kids playing on the front, so when I get to the border and they say, what is that? I can say, it's a swimming pool. Well, the deepest one that we could find was 12 inches deep. I looked at Mahmoud and I said, Mahmoud, can you immerse in 12 inches? He said, Andy, no big people in Morocco. But I thought that was so funny. I got a guy from the other side of the world who's got to go to Walmart before he goes home. What do you do when you live among a bunch of weeds? You just keep on living for your Lord. You keep on praying and serving and showing hospitality. You keep reading your Bibles. You keep getting on your knees in prayer. Don't miss the assembly because of what you miss when you miss. Don't ever miss because of what you miss when you miss. That's how you live when there's a lot of weeds. And in that story of Matthew 13, Jesus tells us, don't be discouraged. And if we took the time to go back and read Matthew 28, that Great Commission, I think there's a couple of meanings there in the Great Commission. Number one, it is marching orders. And it is encouragement to know what He wanted them to do living among the weeds. But it also gave those early Christians a time and an opportunity for them to examine what they did think and what they did believe. So when Matthew wrote those last words on the last page of his writing in Matthew 28, when he said, go into all the world and to preach the gospel, it's also giving these first century Christians, and maybe now even some second century or some second generation Christians, a time for them to examine what they did think about their allegiance to the Lord living among the tares. We got to go to one more passage of Scripture. We'll close with a story, and then we'll pray. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. It might have been the passage that Andrew thought I'd probably get around to in talking about joy. But there's a story that comes out of this page that you've got to note. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing to Christians, and he is encouraging them in the times in which they lived when there was a lot of weeds growing where they were trying to serve God. And he reminds them of something really, really important. Read with me beginning in your Bibles in Philippians 4, beginning verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious. King James Bible says, be careful for nothing. One translation says, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here's your key passage. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to focus on the word guard in that passage in verse number 7. King James, it uses the word keep. Let me tell you about that word. Cousin Eddie, how many years you been an umpire? 23. The word in this passage in verse number 7, guard, is our English word for umpire. Read it again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will umpower your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says in that passage, in every event of your life, how can you act and react to that event? How do you know whether it's good or bad and how you ought to live after it? He says in verse 7, let God be the umpower of your life in deciding how to live your life. I'm going to tell you a story that's almost 30 years old, but it's still a good story. Here's the scene. It's Saturday afternoon in Danville, Kentucky, and I'm watching my 9-year-old son play a game of T-ball. Any T-ball parents in the room? Any T-ball parents, grandparents in the room? If you're not one, you need to be one. You need to go out and adopt one of those kids and go to a T-ball game. Here's the scene. It's the last inning. We got the top bats in the last inning. We're behind 2 runs. 2 of our guys gets on base, and the next batter is my son. Are you with me so far? Eddie taught me how to hit a baseball, and I taught that to my son. You step in that ball, and he cranked one, and it went over the shortstop's head, and it starts rolling to the fence. The runners began to run. When I saw it pass the outfielder's glove, Daddy stood up. Now, I'm on row one, and right here is home plate. You got the picture? The ball rolled to the fence. Here comes 1 run in. We're 1 behind with another coming and my son coming. Relay gets to the shortstop. As the second came in and we tied the game, my son's rounding third. As he comes to home plate, Dad is now climbed up the screen and I'm looking down on home plate. You got the picture? Matthew slides in home about the time the ball got there. There's a little dirt and dust flying. All right, is he out or safe? Who you going to ask? Let's ask Mom sitting over here doing like this. What's Mom going to say? Dad is now on top of the screen looking down on home plate. You going to ask Dad what he thinks? Is his son out or safe? It only matters what? What the umpire says. Your life and all the events that you have dealt with in your life, are they good or bad? Well, what does the umpire say? Who's our umpire? Verse 7 says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Who's our umpire? Somebody tell me. The God of heaven. And church, our God's sitting on the throne. And it matters who sits, as long as our God's sitting on the throne, we're going to be okay. If God's sitting on the throne, it doesn't matter as much who sits on the chair in Washington, or maybe even who sits in the chair in Nashville, Tennessee. As long as our God's sitting on the throne, we're going to be okay. I might not like a tax I got to pay, might not like my health care, but if God's sitting on the throne of heaven, we're going to be okay. And the whole church, I hope, will say, amen. As long as our God is sitting on the throne, He gives us a picture. He gives us an idea about what joyful living really is. And you and I can be joyful because of some things and in spite of some things. Because of the peace of God that shows us about our life. There's probably a lot of weeds growing up around you where you live and work. You keep on serving. You keep on preaching. You keep on preaching. You keep on visiting. You keep on getting on your knees in prayer. You keep opening up your home. You keep on being a light to this community. till God calls us home. And He will, and there we will praise His name forever. Anybody ready? Anybody more ready than you've ever been for that call? Let's pray together as we close. Father, thank You for giving us some things to think about from Your Word as we act and react to the times in which we live. Some of us have become discouraged because of all the evil that is going on in our world and maybe even around us. Some of us have gotten absorbed with counting the weeds and how bad things are. We forgot about Your power and Your wisdom and Your peace. I pray You will bless everybody in this room, that in spite of the weeds, in spite of evil around us, that we'll keep on living for You and serving You till You call us home. And Father, if we can do that, if we can view the weeds right, and if we can view You right, and if we can view what we need to do and busy ourselves doing till You call us home, we can be joyful people. We can have joy because of some things and in spite of some things. I pray, dear God, for the things that kept us, some of us, awake last night, for the things that maybe we've been thinking about today, the things that's brought us maybe not as much joy and maybe a little bit of grief. I pray for our children and for our grandchildren who live around maybe a bunch of weeds. Help them stay strong. Help them stay faithful. I pray tonight for places in the world where people like where Mahmoud is preaching and teaching, that they can't meet in big groups. In fact, even for the small house churches in Beijing, China, that's meeting tonight, for the people that's meeting in groups of two or three in Morocco, for places in the world where it's not safe to wear the name of Jesus, we lift up those places and those names to You in this prayer. We thank You for being our God and for being on the throne in heaven. May that cause every one of us to be strong and very, very courageous. And may those that live around us see us committed to You by the way we live, by the way we talk, by the way we carry ourselves. I pray for our people tomorrow that we're around at work and maybe in our neighborhoods will know we've been to church tonight, because we're acting a little bit like Jesus. I pray for every one of us who have children and who have grandchildren, because they are looking to us. And I pray You'll help us all to realize that we are living in a wonderful time and a wonderful opportunity to show to our church family and to show to our immediate family and our neighbors and friends joy, even in the midst of the times in which we live. May they see the peace that's in our hearts. May they see contentment in our hearts. I pray they'll see us not afraid and not worried, because we serve a great God of creation. Father, dismiss us with Your grace and Your mercy. We are thankful that we can put our heads on the pillow tonight okay with You, because of the powerful blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from our sin. And I close my prayer by asking Your blessing upon this good church, for the many, many people that has learned the story about Jesus, not just from this building, but from ministries and places where they've sent out missionaries and people to teach and preach Your Word. For the many, many ways this good church has blessed so very many people, I thank You. And I ask You to bless them with their best days still in the future. We thank You for our time together tonight. May we take the song with us. May we take the scripture with us. Most of all, Your presence and Your power. That it will make a real difference as we live for You tomorrow. For today's food and clothing and shelter, we give You thanks. And we look forward to tomorrow. Don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Don't know what phone calls we'll get tomorrow. Don't know what news we'll hear. But we're glad to know that we serve a God who knows the future. And therefore we can have peace in our hearts. and joy because of some things and in spite of some things. So bless us as we leave. Give us safe travels home. And we just thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. It's through Jesus we pray together. In the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's great being with you. I think we're going to visit.